Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to episode 4 of the Champions League talk. I'm joined, as per usual, by Sergio and Boris. Sergio, first of all, how are you doing on this Thursday night, actually?
Doing great, as always. Happy to be here. Happy in general. How are you doing, Jörg?
I'm doing fine. We had some technical difficulties, but we move on. Boris, how are you doing today?
Good. Happy to be here, and let's make it one hell of a show.
All right. Let's do that indeed. Right, without further ado, this is the show which looks at the four, well, in this case, the four games that were played yesterday and Tuesday, which were the Dortmund game versus Sevilla, Juventus versus Porto, PSG versus Barcelona, as well as Liverpool versus Leipzig. We will quickly run through every single game. We'll talk about every single game and give our opinions as per usual. All right, without further ado, let's get into the first game, which was obviously Tuesday night. Borussia Dortmund versus Sevilla, which was a 5-4 game, a two-legged game, so 5-4 on aggregate. The game ended 2-2. Sergio, what are your thoughts on this game?
Very good game. I think that, well, both of Tuesday games were incredible. Well, this game, it had everything. Yeah, Brahma, then Haaland scoring goals as well. I'd say that Sevilla dominated, especially towards the end of the second half. And they were unlucky. They were unfortunate on not being able to score one more and send it through to extra time. But I mean, they had the chances, they had many shots, they had all the possession, but they were just too slow on what they were doing. So I guess fair enough with Borussia. They played well, played their game, and it worked out.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Boris, what were your thoughts on the game? And did you think Sevilla should have won, or Dortmund were the right team to go through in the end?
I did think the second game, Sevilla should have won. So that would mean they went the extra distance, but I don't think they should have won in general. I'm happy with the results. I think Borussia can be happy with the results. They played it out quite well. And yeah, I think it's what most of us expected.
Yeah, that's very true. And obviously Borussia Dortmund didn't create a hell of a lot of chances, but were very clinical. Obviously, Sevilla had 19 shots with I don't know how many on target, but 12 chances created, two of them being big chances. But most of importantly, or most was it recognizable of this game? I don't know what the word is. It was the penalty saga with Haaland's second goal. Now, basically what happened was Haaland scored from open play and then the VAR pulled back the goal. And because it was an accident that happened before the goal was scored. So then the referee decided to cancel Haaland's goal and give a penalty to Dortmund, right? Which is already a bit strange because they could have just let the penalty be for what it is and just give the goal to Haaland as they already scored. So they made it from 2-0, 1-0 again, and then Haaland missed the penalty, but Haaland was eventually helped out by the VAR as the referee let the penalty be retaken as the goalkeeper wasn't touching the goal line, and therefore the penalty was invalid, which is a stupid rule in my opinion. Like, how many, like, if you don't like score the penalty, I mean, you're just terrible in my opinion. Like, how many, like, it's such a big chance of you scoring, first of all, and then you're going to disadvantage the keeper in a penalty situation. But
you would have scored it, right?
He scored it a second time, but
no, you would have scored it.
Oh, me, yeah, of course. Penalty killer. Come on, now. Catch yourself on. But what did you make of it, Sergio?
For the penalty situation?
Yeah.
I think they should have just given the goal directly to Haaland, and it would have been done much easier. Because also Haaland with his pure shithouse away against
Bono.
the Sevilla goalkeeper after he said something, and Haaland said it back. The guy said in Spanish or in Arabic, Haaland didn't understand, so he just replied with whatever he heard or he thought that he heard. So yeah, it was just pure shithousery.
I mean, I think he walked up after the penalty he scored. He said unlucky or something like that, which was kind of funny. But yeah, he was fortunate enough to get a second penalty. Boris, did you think it was the right decision by the VAR to make such a saga, or like, what was the point?
I can't actually recall. I don't know what specific moment you are talking about. So I don't have a good answer to that.
All right. Then moving on to the Juventus versus Porto game, which ended 4-4 on aggregate, but at the Juventus stadium, I think it was, or any other stadium because of the COVID regulations. It was 2-2 and it went to extra time because Juventus were 2-2. It was 2-1. Juventus did score twice and Porto did take an early lead because of a penalty goal from Oliveira. What did you make of this game, Boris? Did you watch it at all? Did you watch the highlights? What were your thoughts?
I watched it fully. I think it was a very entertaining game. We didn't have a lot of games like this yet, and I really enjoyed myself. It's just... I think that's all. I really enjoyed the game. It was spectacular. It had a red card. It had excitement. So just happy to see.
What were your thoughts on the game then, Sergio? Did you enjoy it at all? I assume you did.
Yeah, I was very happy. Porto won. I don't really like Juventus. It was a great game. And Juve had the chances and they should have won. They should have done it easily, especially after having... more men, they had one man more because obviously a red card, which I don't think was a red card, even though you could debate, kick the ball away. And obviously he was free to ref and all. But, you know, that kind of hindered the rest of the game. But Porto still pulled through. So, it was just a really good game, probably the best game in the Champions League this season.
Yeah, I mean, hands down, the best game in my opinion too. I mean, Porto did get dominated. I mean, Juventus had a total of 31 shots and 30 chances created. That is mental. These are like when I play Boris at FIFA, I have 30 shots and Boris has 6. So, you know.
I won with 6-0. How?
True. Total domination. But I think if you could pick out one player that played exceptionally well, was Pepe, the centre-back, the captain from Porto. He won 5 duels, 18 clearances and 3 interceptions, as well as 8 ball recoveries. My man was on fire that night. I remember...
About Juan Cuadrado as well.
Yeah, he was good as well. But I remember that one moment where Pepe like headed the ball and almost hit the post with his head. Like, my man was on stuff, man. If he was... I don't care what... Jesus, he was very good. It was a joy to watch him. He was like, I think he's 38 years old now. And he was, fuck me, he was like the best player on the pitch.
He played very well. He got 9.5 rating. And he was just incredible.
Putting in a lot of crosses. What are you going to say, Boris?
Someone who actually really let me down, who played pretty well, I thought, this season was Morata. He missed a few big chances, so I thought he was really underperforming the game.
Well, Morata is Morata. I don't really know why he made people expect stuff from him because he's just bad. He's out of shite and he's a snake as well. until he comes back to Atleti and then he's like, because it is his childhood club, but he still played for Real Madrid and he still left for Juventus. He was like, I'm so happy to be back. Always wanted to be back. So, love a dickhead move. But speaking of Morata, speaking of Champions League, today, me being an Atleti fan, it's a 1-year anniversary since that magical night at Anfield where Atleti won 3-2 and we shit on Liverpool pretty much with Marcos Llorente. So, just wanted to put that out there.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
It got you absolutely nowhere, but yeah, congratulations. Just to come back to you, Sergio, with your mention, Juan Cuadrado completed the most dribbles in the game with 6, as well as created the most chances with 13, as well as in being a right back, he got the most tackles completed with 6 in the match. So yeah, he had a pretty good game as well from right back. A very interesting development from him, obviously, in the past few years. Bit of a right winger, then turned into right back. He's doing a fantastic job. But I was very disappointed by Cristiano Ronaldo overall. He just didn't have a great game. He lacked a lot of, motivation on the pitch. Some other players, like Ramsey, was shite. Just the left back, can't remember who that was, Alexandro maybe, was also not very good on the night. And Arthur is just, yeah, not as good. But the second goal from Porto was the free kick. Now, they jumped and the ball rolled underneath, right? Do you think it was Ronaldo's fault because he, like, did barely anything? Or do you guys think it was Chesney's fault, Boris?
I actually don't remember how they scored, but I do recall what I felt on that moment, and I thought it was Chesney's fault. He played pretty poorly, in my opinion. So I would, in a vague memory, I would put the blame on him.
What about you, Sergio? Do you think it was a goalkeeper mistake, or do you think the ball made a mistake by jumping because he was never
I think, obviously, you know that people will put under the wall, and from that distance, they can also put over. So you should have just had a guy laying down behind the wall like every other team does nowadays. So I think that was just a bad wall making.
I don't know. It was a bit far for someone to sit lie down, in my opinion. Maybe a two-man's wall, but it went underneath. I don't know. It was like 30 yards or something, or 25 meters.
I reckon Chesney still should have saved it. I agree with Boris.
Yeah, I mean, you could have seen it from a mile away, in my opinion. It was over the ground as well, so it didn't have the most pace. But again, the wall wasn't that great, and that eventually made them lose the game. Obviously, Rabiot, though, scored in the 117th minute, but that was too late to score another goal. But also, Frederico Chiesa, if that's how you say it, was very impressive over the two legs. I think he scored three goals or four goals in the two legs. So yeah, it was very good as well. Very good to see the Italian bag two goals in that game. But man of the match for you was Boris?
I think Pepe.
What about you, Sergio?
Sergio Oliveira.
Okay, well, then I'm going to go with Cuadrado. Just to mix it up a little bit. And then, obviously, last night was PSG versus Barcelona, which ended 1-0 and 5-2 on aggregate. Now, obviously, PSG went on and took the lead with a penalty. Now, quickly want to talk about the penalty incident. What were your thoughts and what went through your head, Sergio?
Never a penalty. No way. Icardi was no way near. I think they wasn't even looking at him. It wasn't intentional. It's just a little step and he just started rolling around like a little bitch. So that's never a penalty. I was actually quite pissed off at that because it just ruined the game for Barca.
Yeah, what about you, Boris? You had a different view, didn't you? I remember you texting me saying it was a penalty.
Yeah, I really think it was a penalty. I think it is true that Barca was pretty good in the game. They were playing a good aggressive first half, and I think the penalty really destroyed that. But yeah, I think it was a too big of a foul in the 16-meter area. That's what you call it, right?
16-yard box, yeah.
16-yard box to not consider it as a penalty because he stepped on his foot pretty heavy on full speed, and even though he on who was the foul committed?
Icardi.
Even though he couldn't reach it, the ball was pretty far away from him when the foul happened. So, yeah, I think it definitely should at least be considered as a penalty, not say that it isn't one.
So you think that the VAR did a right job because obviously Anthony Taylor, the referee, Didn't think it was a penalty at first, but obviously I don't think he really saw what happened. But you think the VAR did the right thing to tell him, come over to the monitor and look at it and then make up your own mind?
Yeah, I think so. But it's hard. There's a lot of pressure on your shoulders. And if two people already are telling you, we think it is a penalty, then you as referee, of course, you've got to handle independently. But I can also picture that to be a very hard decision to make.
I'd quickly
like to point out, Boris said 60 meter because the box is 60 meter, but then in English, it's 16 yard box. So surely one of them must be wrong, because in Dutch it's 16 meter line, right?
Yeah.
16 meter.
And then,
hey, but who invented football in England? So, shush, 16 yard. In English. Yeah, I'm just saying too. So let's get a move on.
1 yard is 0.9 meters. So technically one of the sayings is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm going to back the Europeans.
Okay, fair enough. But I agree with Sergio there that it really, in my opinion, wasn't a penalty. Like there was no intention of hurting Icardi or stepping on his heel. So I don't know. It really was, I think, was a poor decision. Though he did score a great penalty, Mbappe, because you do have to score them, which people seem to forget sometimes. And then obviously Barcelona's goal was amazing. Messi just put it top left, like it just swerved top ends. What was your first reaction when you saw that beauty go in, Boris?
Well, I needed to sit down. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was standing in the living room with my grandmother, and I had to sit down for a second. You know, it was hard to take in, but there was something harder coming out.
Oh my God. What about you, Sergio? Did you have the same?
You know when the YouTuber Young Fee is like, oh my God, and it's like really loud, oh my God. Do you know? Yeah, just me. Well, yeah, it was just that. It's just, oh my God, but in Spanish. I was like, oh, what a goal.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I think I wet myself as well. That was a beautiful goal. take it or leave it as you may. And then afterwards, after that beautiful goal, Messi had the chance to put, I was going to say Real Madrid, but Barcelona 2-1 up with a penalty, but it was saved by Keylor Navas. Cheeky Keylor Navas with a cheeky save. Was it a poor penalty or was it a great save?
Both.
Combination, but I really think the penalty was really poor. It should have been so much better for someone of that caliber. You just can't shoot penalties like that.
Yeah, true. I mean, it was a good save. Messi does like to miss a penalty now and then.
Okay, but Griezmann said just came up on my feed. They didn't know how to defend. Navas was amazing. That's what Griezmann said about last night's game, which I can thoroughly agree with. Navas was the big dog in that game, and PSG can't defend. And if they come up against Bayern, they're going to lose because Bayern can defend and attack. So, it's a good game. But it's also about the penalty. That apparently Verratti was inside the 16-meter inside the box when Messi took the penalty. I don't know if he got the rebound, so I saw some Barca fans were complaining about that, but I don't really know if he was inside or outside. I just read that it was rumored that he was inside.
So what Sergio's referring to for people that didn't quite understand is when the penalty was taken, Verratti was in the box, right? But that doesn't matter I think the rule in the Netherlands is that if he's in the box, that's kind of fine. But as soon as he gets the second ball after the save, so for example, if Messi shot and it got saved and then Verratti was on the goal line and Messi shot again or someone else shot again and Verratti saved it, then it would have been retaken. But if not, then it doesn't really matter.
shame there's no Dutch teams in the Champions League, though, so it is what it is.
But they follow the same rules as the UEFA, so, you know.
Yeah, I know.
All right, but I think coming back to Keylor Navas, he had a really good game, making 9 saves and 8 of them being from shots inside the box. Obviously, he didn't save that one from outside the box, which was obviously Messi's beauty. But Barcelona did dominate, especially in the early in the first half. Overall, the whole game, they had 21 shots and 10 of them were on target. And they had also having 73% possession. So PSG were very lucky to escape a Barca beating, in my opinion. I think if the goal goes in from Messi, it's 2-1 before halftime, and you go into with a different mentality, thinking, okay, we need 2 more goals, and then we go to extra time or 3 more goals to go and win the game. So I know Barcelona was unlucky to lose this game, in my opinion.
Definitely, but... I don't know what his name was, but there was a Barca player who got a yellow card in the, I think, 17th minute, and he committed a foul right afterwards, like in the same minute. I thought that could be red. That could have been red.
He had a nightmare of a game.
Yeah.
Off in the first half.
If that would have happened, I think Barca didn't stand a chance.
No way.
That was very lucky because like 10 seconds later, he made a foul on Mbappe again.
And they weren't fouls. They were like proper fouls as well.
And then Junior Firpo came on the pitch and thought, you know what, I can have him, and started scrapping Mbappe again. So nobody could handle
that
Mbappe.
I think that might have been the plan though, to try, because Mbappe obviously is very fiery. He's not very mature. So maybe they were trying to get him to get a red card or get him subbed off or something.
Yeah, no, that's that could have been a game tactic. But overall, I think it's just peak, isn't it? Because Barcelona played very well, and I really wanted Barcelona to win because I just don't like PSG.
No, Barcelona doesn't win. No, I mean, they're just doing this though.
Imagine if they win the league, though. We will see.
No, that'd be so funny. No, but Barcelona in the second half, they did not run. There was no passion. It was so boring. Honestly, yeah, they weren't running after the ball. They had no one going into the box. Oh, it was so.
And poor Dembele. Jesus Christ, what is he?
Oh, my
shit.
God.
Fuck me. Right? Can somebody just tell him? Maybe you should just stop and pursue a fucking FIFA career where you just play and sit on your ass and eat McDonald's all day. Wow.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I'll say this. Dembele is a good player, but he does not belong in that position. He should be a winger that crosses the ball in. He should not be going 1-on-1 because it's been seen many times he can't finish. It's just Braithwaite or R9, whatever you want to call him, in the middle and put him on the right or on the left, and it'll be much better because he can just cross the ball in and he's very fast. So I think that he was just in the wrong position, but he's still shit.
I mean, he had plenty of chances to finish, a couple of shots. I remember when he did. He's pretty good at dribbling, I give him that. But like, I remember the second half, no, the first half, where he dribbled past, I think it was Kimbembe or Diallo, whoever it was, and then cut inside and shot, right? He had a perfect opportunity to curl it top ends, and it just goes over into the stands. It was like, and then I don't hate him. I don't have, like, I just want him to do well. Obviously, he was signed for like, what was it, 130 plus million from Dortmund, obviously two-footed as well. It was very exciting. At the same time, Mbappe came through, obviously, at the time. And look how Mbappe turned out. Maybe they should have just invested in Mbappe, but it's a bit too late now. And then also, like you said, Sergio, I think the positioning was wrong. I don't know if Griezmann played left winger or if he was a striker. I just couldn't figure out. Or maybe they were swapping every single now and then. Because I think Griezmann is a striker, isn't he? You've seen him many more times.
Yeah, I think he plays up front. No, Messi plays up front, but then Messi drops back down. So it's like they play with two wide strikers and they're both agile players. They don't have a target man up front, and that's what they were missing yesterday, I think.
Right, fair enough. I mean, give Barcelona a good striker, and I think they could have done that. A very decent job.
Luis Suarez.
Memphis next season on a free.
do you think Memphis could save Barca? Like, no joke?
No.
Yes.
I don't think Memphis is good enough.
No, yes. But really, yo, really?
Yes.
No joke.
Okay. Memphis no is cap.
No
cap.
Not good.
He's good.
No.
Memphis Depay this season. Let me look him up. This season, he's actually been very good.
Memphis. Yeah, in the league on. In a Farmers League.
Yeah. Yet yeah, Mbappe is good.
He plays a Farmers League. According to TIG Sport Argentina, Barcelona have reportedly made an official offer with Sergio Aguero with his contract at Man City expiring in the summer.
That would be
a good signing for Barcelona.
Yeah.
But Memphis,
definitely.
Memphis this season, he can play left wing and center forward, all right? And this season, fucking transfer marked. 28 games played, 14 goals, 8 assists. Now that's not bad.
Is he a target, man?
No, but does he work on has he worked under Koeman? And has it worked? Yes, it has. At the Netherlands.
Is he a target, man? They don't need another agile, skillful player.
Well, maybe he can score penalties, unlike Messi. So I think
Messi can,
that reason
that was
alone.
Just one bad. You see, you're just hating on Messi at this point.
No,
Messi
no.
Did more
yeah,
game
yeah.
Than
Messi,
did,
Messi was very good this game.
Game.
I think I forgot to say that Messi was the creating the most chances with Mbappe and completed the most dribbles with 4 as well in that game. So Messi had a really good game, and it's always a joy to watch Messi. But I think it was a stat. It was the first time in 25 years. That neither Messi or Ronaldo has made it through to the quarterfinals of the
25 years.
20. 2005.
Yeah, that's
almost 25. 25 years. Jesus Christ. My bad. Okay.
I think this mistake is almost as big as me saying the greatest footballer alive.
No. That is a worst mistake. Come on, saying that Maradona is the greatest player alive. Shut up, man. Come on, that was like Chesney. What a mistake that was.
But yeah, do me like this, man.
I think Memphis would be a good signing, and I think Aguero is just too like injured all the time. I mean, how many games has he played for Manchester City in the last 3 years? 20?
I know. He's got 0 goals this season.
But just to go off track a little bit, if it keeps Messi at the club because they're best friends, then I'll take it over Depay. And I mean, they were very close to signing Depay. But moving on to the last game, which was Liverpool versus RB Leipzig, which ended 2-0 for Liverpool, just like the repeat of the first game, which ended 2-0 for Liverpool as well. Of course, from Mane and Salah again. I don't think anyone watched that game, but did you watch any highlights, Sergio?
Actually, in the second half, when Barca started like just passing around the back, I got pissed off. I switched a bit to the Liverpool game. And, you know, it was just very scrappy from what I saw from the 5 minutes I saw. And I saw that Mane and Salah chance. I saw that a few chances and didn't score. But then they did score one each with a great cross from Diva Carigi, actually, for the Mane goal. And yeah, I think it was just a solid game by Liverpool. I think they deserved the win.
I mean, Quebec did look a bit shaky, losing, I think it was 4.
Hold on. Quebec, highest rated defender in the game. Well, yeah, highest rated defender after Andrew Robertson.
And Trent. So, and one more, 0.1 more rating than Phillips, who, just to remind you, comes from the Conference League or whatever, League 2 or League 1 in England.
Conference League isn't even a thing anymore.
North End. So, you know, Quebec.
Mate, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. He lost Quebec 4 duels. Four duels out of the 6.
Goat. You know, he played very well, Dio Upamecano.
Ariel's lost good. 4 for Quebec. So
Dayot Upamecano is a very good centre back.
I mean, for the first goal, I thought he was pretty poor. I think he could have done.
Oh yeah, it's like in the first leg, they were just defensive mistakes.
He won 9 duels, lost 5. That's okay, I suppose. 4 tackles attempted, 2 succeeded. won a lot of aerials, but I don't think that's really difficult against Liverpool, who don't really have that many target men up top.
Thiago Jota.
He was good. Didn't he get an assist?
To Crouch. Yeah, he got an assist.
Yeah.
Thiago Jota and Origi got assists, and then Salah and Mane got goals. Thiago Alcantara played very well, actually.
Yeah. Thiago Alcantara. Alcantara. Mostly.
Yeah.
Pass succession rate of 80%, which is good. How many thumbs up this time, Sergio?
I think it was 23. It's a solid game for him.
But obviously, he had to be subbed off. He actually had the most tackles in the match. Did you know that? He completed the most tackles. More than Fabinho. That's actually pretty surprising. All right. Anyways. Yeah, that was a good game. Liverpool, actually, for the first time in a long time, won at home, but not at home because they played away because of COVID. Was it COVID restrictions and that?
Yeah, but then Atletico Madrid can play at Stamford Bridge. I mean, you know, this is just big. This is great. You know, like the game isn't rigged at all. Like, we have to play in Romania, but then we have to play in Stamford Bridge, but then Liverpool and Leipzig both have to play away, which is what should happen.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
But no, at the end of the day, it just comes down to who's the better team, no matter where you play.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why I perform
goals,
everywhere?
Away goals.
Yeah.
You perform everywhere.
Perform on snow, on the on hills in England, on the AstroTurf in Holland.
Hills in the Netherlands. Many hills in the Netherlands.
Many hills. No, but yeah, like football pitches here are way better than in England.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In England, you play in a park, Boris, just to. So the pitch will be like this in England. It's messed up.
I can only imagine that you're even worse on that.
Yes. nice one. Boris thinks he's good at football.
I'm clearly the better one of us. Clearly, by miles. Like, if we had a FIFA rating and it went up all the way to 100,
I'll be
101. No, fuck off. I would be like, you would be 2/3 of what I am. Like, no joke. Not even hard feelings, but I'm just that much better than you. You're just 1/3 whacker.
Oh, okay. Nice. I mean, do you still play football?
Can I kick your ass?
No. All right, but that was the Champions League, and I think the games are played today, which is obviously Manchester United, AC Milan. I really quickly want to run by some games. Obviously, I think me and Sergio covered the Europa League in the Europa League episode, which went out, I think, last Friday.
Yep.
I think we covered all games, but obviously now we have Boris's opinion. Boris, Ajax play against Young Boys. Not old boys, but young boys. What do you think Ajax will win? Or?
They should. Like, it would be shameful if they lost. But in the Eredivisie, everything is possible. Of Europa League, everything is possible. I think they will win. But like, super boring game. One goal, late 80 minutes. That's my prediction.
That's very precise. What about you, Sergio? For the Ajax game?
I reckon Ajax is going to do very well. I reckon they're going to touch Young Boys. Yeah. I reckon they've got in the bag.
Nice. Yeah, I think Ajax are going to go through as much as I hate to say it. But it's good for Dutch football. And if Feyenoord can finish sixth in the league and still manage European football, then we will take that. Dynamo Kiev face Villarreal, however you want to say it. Dynamo Kiev obviously knocked out Club Brugge from Belgium. Do you think Villarreal's got this? Sergio?
Yeah, I reckon they got it. They have a very solid team. Sixth, seventh in the league this year. Yeah, they have a decent team. They should beat the Ukrainian team. If they don't, they'll be a bit disappointed, not going to lie.
Yes, and Boris, did you know Villarreal have Diego Maradona's son playing for them? So does that give them an edge over Dynamo Kiev?
What's so funny about that, man? What's so funny? Explain to me, what's so funny?
Nothing. Go on, give your opinion, give your opinion.
I don't think that will give them the edge. I actually don't know who he is, but...
It's Diego Maradona's son.
Does he actually play for them?
No, of course not. I'm trying to show this on the fire. Wow, this says a lot about the podcast and the people in it, doesn't it? Fucking hell.
This says a lot about you. You're just lying to us at this point.
Yeah. Damn, what kind of friend of you are? No, but in all seriousness. I think they will win. Actually, I think Villarreal is a pretty underrated team. I enjoy watching them. I don't watch them a lot, but if I see
name one player,
or shut up,
Parejo.
I think they will win. Yes, what to say more? The ex striker is found dead.
What are you doing at this point?
That's true.
It's true.
That's some excellent bit of knowledge there from the back end of your brain, man. Definitely didn't look that up just now. Right.
And my favorite player is Gerard Moreno. Shut up, yo.
Paco Alcácer as well. He's from Villarreal. He's a top scorer.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good player. All right, then moving on to the biggest game in the Europa League is obviously Manchester United versus AC Milan. Oh, boy. This definitely does get me hard. Who do you think is going to take it? Lineups are confirmed, by the way. Can I... Henderson in goal. I don't have to do this. But no surprises apart from...
I say play for Spurs. I think no Spurs Liverpool.
Oh, my God. No Zlatan in Brazil.
Wow. You know who is playing? Ex-United player, Diogo Dalot, at left back.
Yep.
This is some shaky Milan team.
United can't lose this, right? They are playing pretty good and... Really, the only good player at Milan is Zlatan, just be honest.
No, Kessie is good. I rate Kessie. I think Gianluigi Donnarumma is a very good young goalkeeper who's now 22 years of age.
Donnarumma has a brother?
Yeah.
Antonio Donnarumma. Yeah. He's 30 and he's in the squad as well. Yeah. He's on the bench.
Do you know why? Because Gianluigi Donnarumma put that in his contract, I'm pretty sure, or in the negotiation, said that I'm leaving unless my brother can stay at the club too. They listened. So it's not like, I don't think he's a very special fucking goalkeeper. Making use of your powers. But quickly, predictions, Boris?
3-1, Man United.
What about you, Sergio?
2-1, Milan. I reckon. Tomorrow's going to put a very good shift in tonight.
I'm going to go 4-0 United.
Wow.
Yeah, just like...
Definitely not showing your United side.
I'm not a United fan. I like Crystal Palace. Very good team there. So, Joe, are there any other games you think we should cover quickly before we end off the show?
Arsenal and Piacos. I mean, we all know that Piacos is going to beat them again. Roma Shakhtar, Roma should win, and Tottenham Zagreb, Tottenham should win. No, Granada Molde, Granada should win. No, I think the rest of the games should be good. I reckon Rangers are going to beat Slavia Prague as well. So, yeah, that's about it.
All right. Boris, anything you want to say before we end off this show?
No. Again, it was a pleasure to be here. And... I know my English sucked today, but I was a little bit tired, so don't blame me for that. We will have a quick laugh when we listen to Sesh, and hope to see you around.
Good. Well, anything you want to say, Sergio?
Thank you very much for listening. Obviously, our editor, Jakub, extremely talented guy. Check him out on YouTube, JMXS Beats. great speeds and drill and everything. Should re-listen to him. They're all free. You can also find him on our Instagram at Offside Football Podcast. And yeah, that's all for me. Thank you for listening.
Yes, I've been your host, Jop van Eyck, and make sure you go listen to all the other episodes, and make sure you stay to the end, because we...
I do want to say something extra, if possible. Maybe we can ask the listeners if they would like the podcast to be with our faces, so they could see us talking instead of listening.
You can post it on YouTube. You could post it on YouTube because you can't see faces on
Spotify.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And there's two makers of the album cover. Pick our faces the cover for the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, we're going to have a head-to-head next Monday out with Kieran. Kieran is returning to the show after some absence because he's obviously gone to university, so he's got a busy life, but hopefully he will join us for that one. And make sure you listen to the one before and all the other episodes. They're obviously always a good listen. And I've been your host, Jop van Eyck, and we will see you soon.